If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm a son of a gun. I'm Alex Gunn.
Daddy's been busy. I'm Justin Gunn.
I'm Pete.
And we have a celebrity father we can't really talk about, but as Justin, my brother, mentioned, he has been very busy between directing Superman and now Peacemaker, which is back for season two on HBO Max, officially part of the DCU. If you haven't watched episode one, the season two premiere, which is called The Ties That Grind, check it out on HBO Max. Come back, because we're definitely going to get into spoilers. But a lot of big stuff goes down here, and give a broad, very brief recap before we get into the discussion between the three of us. I'll just lay out that we kick it right off with a previously on the DCU with some reshot scenes that set it directly in James Gunn's DCU. Then we pick up where we left off in season one. Peacemaker is feeling a little lost. He explores the quantum unfolding chamber that was left to him by his dad, who he had to kill in the previous season.
Yes.
And he discovers an alternate dimension that is just like the DCU, but seems to be much better, at least for him, in terms of, as we find out later, not only is his dad alive there, and he's on a superhero team called the Top Trio with him, but he's also, his brother Keith is alive, played by the Office's David Denman. Now, the rest of the plot involves Peacemaker trying to make it in the DCU and just not having it work out. So he goes to drugs, he goes to sex, as we all do. Meanwhile, Amelia Harcourt has been blacklisted by pretty much every agency after saving the world last season from an alien invasion. And she is turning into a one-woman fight club, going to bars and busting stuff up. The rest of the team from last season isn't doing that well either. Economos has been tasked with the new head of Argus, who is Rick Flagg Sr., as seen in Superman and Creature Commandos, with keeping tabs on Peacemaker. Meanwhile, Lita Adebayo doesn't have a job or a girlfriend either, and is hanging out in, I believe it's described as, the worst level of Grand Theft Auto.
It's a funny line.
Meanwhile, the only person who seems to be doing kind of okay is Vigilante, aka Adrian Chase, who's mostly concerned with owl facts, something that he thinks he knows a lot about, but he doesn't know anything about. So that's pretty much the broad overview there. By the end of the episode, Peacemaker drunkenly has stumbled into what I think we could all call DC2. How does that sound?
I don't know if he's drunk, or I would say more high than drunk.
Sure. We'll test his blood alcohol levels later on.
He's doing coke.
Yeah, for sure. We can definitely, you can give us a breakdown of how drugs and alcohol work in a second, Pete.
Yeah, okay. That just tripping balls is what I'm saying.
He gets attacked by the Peacemaker of that dimension. They fight, and he semi-accidentally kills the other Peacemaker in the quantum unfolding chamber, and then has to deal with it, and that's where we leave off. So that's broad overview of the episode. Let's talk about this show, because we never actually talked about the first season of the show on this podcast.
Yes. One of us watched the whole thing and loved every minute of it. Others didn't even bother. So,
well, what are you saying?
What are you, in my TV? In my living room? You think you know what I watch? Shots fired, bro.
What's up?
I watch everything.
Yeah. Pete, first off, you don't actually even have a TiVo. It's just Pete going boop, boop. Every once in a while.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
What's tough is you guys are all like, oh, our dad, guys plug in other podcasts rather than his own kids' podcasts. I mean, that's rough too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know. No, I have daddy issues just like Peacemaker.
Anyway, yes, let's talk about our thoughts on the first season, just in brief, and how we felt going into the first episode of the second season. Pete, since you are pretty positive on it, I think you already said probably what you need to say, but feel free to expand if you like.
Yeah, first off, you know, since you guys don't know, in the first season, they had this fun opening number bit where they kind of did this whole song and dance. It was hilarious. So it was great to see in the second season. They updated it, did it a little differently, kind of fun montage ending there. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the first season. I liked, you know, it's kind of got a ridiculous, over-the-top sense of humor, which is fun. And, yeah, if you're going through the recap and we get to the point where he kind of throws a giant missile at the AIM members, he's like, "Suck on peace, motherfuckers." If you're not laughing at that, then this show is not for you, because it's very much that sense of humor. And so, might not be for everybody, but I very much enjoy the show. And also the, you know, Peacemaker's kind of a joke. So sitting in this and kind of seeing his struggles and kind of the things that he goes through and struggles with, I very much enjoy. So very happy that this show is back. And excited for this season.
I will say, I don't know what you're talking about, Pete, because I watched it before you did the season of this TV show.
So
eat peace, motherfucker, I guess I could say. That's what you suggested. I watched it. I generally enjoyed the first season of the show. The one, like, hiccup for me, the thing that I didn't love about the first season, is it often had a very similar sense of humor to the way that Gunn hit humor, I would say specifically in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which aired a little on the mean side. Like, it was a lot of people shouting each other and digging into each other versus the kindness that he's shown in a lot of the other things that he's done. So that always stuck out as a little bit of a sore thumb to me whenever they'd sit around and just be like razzing each other nonstop. I'd be like,
so you didn't like the Justice Gang interview in this episode then, is what you're saying?
Jumping ahead, not to specifically talk about anything this episode, but I like this much better than the first season because it focused more squarely on Peacemaker, his emotional journey. I think there was a lighter kindness to the humor here. Like, it's very raunchy, very violent. There's a crazy amount of full frontal nudity in this episode.
A lot of dancing nudity, which you don't see as much, which it's a fun type of nudity.
That's a tough combo.
What's the audition for that? Like, I was wondering, like that one guy who's sort of doing the little dance in front of the thing.
That's you cast a friend.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
That's you cast a friend.
Which guy were you talking about? Oh, wow.
I'm glad you have your clothes on.
Does that work for an audio podcast, by the way? Could you guys hear that at home?
No, I could hear your shoulders moving, just
a crack of my brittle bones.
Impressive shoulder work.
Just like a very sensual music was coming out.
Anyway, my point being that, like, I overall was so far much more into this on the first episode than I was the second season. There's still plenty of time for them to sit around and be like, you suck, you dumb son of a bitch, or whatever, for a solid 5 minutes like they often did in the first season. But this seems sweeter and sadder, and I was very surprised about that. So overall, intrigued. What about you, Justin? I'm guessing you're a little more on the negative end.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like Daddy James Gunn, allegedly, asterisk there.
Yeah, thank you.
He has two tones.
Yes,
that
Pete,
he works
by the way,
in.
We haven't established this in a while as our lawyer, so thank you for checking Justin on that.
Yes, and our brother.
no conflict of interest there.
And Jedi husband.
We did it in shit old school, yes. Let's not forget. Now we're getting into conflicts. James Gunn has two tones, I feel like. And like Superman, for instance, the first Guardians, Suicide Squad. I feel like those are a particular tone that I like. And then he has this other tone that I feel like Creature Commandos had, where it's like so much of the comedy is like, well, I guess you're a loser and I'm a loser too. Like sort of like what you're highlighting, Alex. And that something just doesn't work with me. I feel like it just gets repetitive in the nature of the comedy. And this show, because I agree with you, I think John Cena is great. He loves doing this role. He's so good in it. He looks like an action figure. And he plays this like an action figure, both in what I think an action figure would actually be thinking and doing if it were to talk to me. Dream situation, by the way.
But real like, quick, which action figure would be the
Probably the Red Tornado I had from the early 80s.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe the Aquaman who would kick if you moved his arms.
Nice. For me, it was Rodimus Prime.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
If he said he was proud of me, I'd be delighted.
Oh, that's wow. really nice.
Pete, just to round this out, I had so many action figures.
It's hard to,
I'm going to guess Man-at-Arms from the He-Man collection.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, Skeletor was more my boy than Man-at-Arms, but
Skeletor was your favorite He-Man?
That's, are you kidding me?
That's deviant behavior.
Come on, bro. And then, of course, it was Snake Eyes with G.I. Joe. And,
let's not forget Skunk Or. Too bad Ram Man wasn't
Snake
chatty.
Snake Eyes, you know? Famously chatty.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to stop listing now, but since I'm getting fucking roasted.
No, you're like Snake Eyes for ears. In that but what I was saying is like, it just
Boba
ends
Fett
up
for Star Wars. Just
a, Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. It just ends up feeling a little similar.
Sensing a pattern there, Pete.
And I do think, yeah, I do think that the first season, I think, had a lot of that. This episode, really like John Cena's performance. A lot of people are bristling at the multiversal nature of this story, which I totally understand. At first, I was like, this is annoying. But I agree with you, Alex. It pays off his emotional story in a really
nice
way.
You agree with the thing that I haven't said on the podcast yet, but I said it in our Discord, is what you mean.
Oh, is that? Oh, no, I meant what you said about you like the emotionality of this. All right. But I do think, I probably agreed with what you said on the Discord. I like the way that they're using the multiverse, something that I think is literally burnt. We are burnt out on it as an audience. But they're using it in a really good way. In the post-credit interview on the episode, James Gunn made this point that I thought was really nice, that now Peacemaker has killed his brother, his father, and now himself. And, like, that's cool. There's, like, an underlying psychology there, and that's interesting to me. The only – it's just the tone of the show that is bothering me, where everyone's just a little arch. Everyone is telling their jokes and hitting the comedy in such a strange way. It feels very melodramatic, like a middle of the 22 episode run 80s episode of like Airwolf, or one of those shows where they shot it in like 3 hours and we're like, all right, good enough, let's go. They're doing like a very high end version of that, where I'm like, guys, you can perform this a little bit better, I think. And I like all the actors. It just feels like that's a purposeful tone that this show is chasing, and that it just doesn't quite hit with me, despite all the things I do like about it.
I want to expand on what you said about the multiverse thing, and then we can kind of go from here and I assume call out various things from throughout the episode. But
that we all loved.
I agree with what you're saying. And this is knowing a little bit again what James Gunn has said in interviews, but like, so they introduce this quantum unfolding chamber, and I assume that there's like 99 other doors other than the DCU door. And sorry, actually, just to take like a quick step back and talk about the previously on, my assumption going into the season was that Peacemaker is in the DCEU, but the other nicer dimension he was going to go to based on trailers was the DCU, and that's how they'd handle the jump. I appreciate that's not what they did at all. Instead, they did that very fun shot-for-shot remake of a couple of things from the first season, and then subbed it, so we're just, like, hitting the ground running. But in terms of, like, the portal door things, yeah, I do think there's a danger there to be like, ooh, check out all these alternate DC universes. First of all, what James Gunn has said, which is like a subtle distinction, but it's a distinction. He's like, no, they're dimensions. They're not different parts of the multiverse. So they're not all different versions of the DCU, which I think we see with the alien that comes out of that door who burns the rat. And it just so happens that one of these doors is incredibly similar to the DCU. The idea of diving into, like, give
Real quick on that, a way that I think about it that I think is useful, it's like when you drive past a small town storage business where it's just like a bunch of people have units there, and they are similar, but everyone puts different shit in them. Yeah. So it's not like it's different families all putting their leftover furniture in there. It's like some dude puts his trash in there. Some dude has a bunch of dogs in there, like whatever. So I think that lets it be variety. Just dog corpses for when you're done with the dog.
What?
You know, when you're done with a dog and it's a corpse.
Oh, my God. I'm really worried about what you do because you have a dog.
It's not me. It's a small town storage business.
My God.
What? It's called JT Storage. Don't worry about it.
Oh my God. Wouldn't it be great to have one of those? It's like easy money. You just have a place where people put their crime stuff. You know?
Oh my God. And your tagline could be like, there are no dog corpses in here.
Yeah. Police. And yes, Sheriff.
Thanks for calling. There are no dog corpses in here, police. How can I help you?
But I do think that helps it not be the multiverse that is even more annoying than...
Yeah, and the problem is we are going to get there because they already hinted at it in Superman. So I think we're skirting up against it anyway. And like I said, it's a very thin distinction because even if it's like, oh, this is another dimension, it's another dimension that's almost exactly like the DCU but slightly different, which is the multiverse. So whatever you want to like quibble about, that's kind of what they're playing here. But what I was getting towards is what you mentioned earlier, Justin. The thing that I think is so smart, which... we also, I think, lauded James Gunn for doing with Superman is, for the most part there, he let the, like, different characters, rather than be, we're setting up the Justice Gang, at least he was making an attempt to think about, why are these characters in the movie and how do they support Superman's journey, the main character's journey? Same here, we're coming from the direction of Peacemaker, Chris Smith, and saying, like, what will challenge him emotionally the most? He's feeling at his lowest. He's not feeling like a superhero. So give him a dimension where his dad loves him, his brother is alive and loves him, and the three of them are on a beloved superhero team that everybody loves.
Wow.
What does that do to him? Like, what journey does it take him on? And that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that's a great thing to happen in a first episode of a season where you get excited about what's to come. Because, like... it leveled him. I mean, it was just that moment where you thought maybe, is this going to be his dad rolling up in this Ford car? Or is it going to be, you know, him? And the fact that it was his brother and we were all just sitting there with our mouth open being like, oh, shit. Like,
that's right. He watches me.
The second I also identified it as a Ford car, I knew it was his brother.
Yeah.
No, one little Easter egg thing that's super weird that I won't mention about the car. I always, and this is such a dumb thing, but I always keep an eye out for the license plates because they're like usually like, here's a comic Easter book issue and, on there or whatever. The weird thing about the license plate on that car is it's actually the same license plate as Ego's car from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, like in the prologue portion when they use the horribly CGI de-aged Kurt Russell when he's driving around.
Very bad.
Yes, same license plate there. And then they also used it for Vigilante's car, the Vigilante Mobile, last season. So I don't know what James Gunn's deal is with that license plate, but it was on there as well.
I really
feels like it's a production choice and just like put a license plate on there.
Yeah, do whatever. What's available.
Real quick, the Vigilante talking on the phone and then saying like, yeah, that's quote unquote Dave. Like he doesn't believe his boss's name is Dave. Just so funny.
He's very funny. Freddie Stroba, I think, is very funny in the Vigilante role. I like that. I will say to like push back. Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, we both want to get their ideas up. To push back on Justin a little bit, I do think there was a kindness to the exchange between Steve Agee, who plays Economos, and Freddie Stroba as Vigilante, when they're talking about the owl facts, where there was kind of a smile on Economos' face. And that was the thing that I liked, because that felt like a stark contrast with the first season, where it seemed like all these people hated each other all the time. Yeah. He's razzing him for not knowing anything about owls. And he's like, kind of like, I got to get off the phone. But at the same time, he's enjoying talking to this ridiculous person at the same time. And that came through to me in the scene. That's something that I would love to see more of as the season goes.
Yeah, it seems like we're going to get more of that for sure. And what I was excited to talk about, I love the scene. He's like, I'm the Rain Man of Owls. Ask me any question. And the show sits there as the guy slowly types into Google owl facts. And then the first fact he got wrong, I was like, that's a really funny, that's a well-executed joke right there.
One aspect of the show I'm still not sure about after the premiere that I will throw out there is James Gunn's wife, who I like to call Mommy, Amelia Harcourt, played by Jennifer Holland. I was rewatching The Suicide Squad the other night, and she barely has a role in that. And it was reminding me how, like, even through Peacemaker season one, it felt like, I don't know who this character is. Why is she in everything? She's fine. I don't have a problem with
her. She's great. What are you talking about?
Well, then tell me, what do you like about her? Because I think she gets a lot of focus in this first episode.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting idea of, like, you know, people are like, oh, you know, toxic masculinity is such a dude thing. And I think, like, having a female struggle with it is an interesting idea, because then you get to see a little bit more of the struggle, and it's not just dismissive as, like, horrible and bad. You know, there is a little bit of someone trying to figure out who they are and what makes them good and bad. And you know what I mean? So I like this idea to kind of be like, let's have this character be explored and not dismissed, I think is an interesting idea. And yes, it might be, but I do think she does great work and is fantastic with violence and fight sequences. Yeah. And is very interesting to watch. And that kind of almost smile she does at the end is a perfect kind of choice there. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I also think that, I don't know, I'm excited about this character, because I also love this idea of, like, if this is true, if she is very toxic and over-the-top dude, like, the fact that she might have something with Peacemaker but can't deal with it because she's not going to – she's just like, oh, it's just a mistake or whatever. I thought that was kind of, like, true to what we've seen when it comes to dudes who aren't fully formed yet and toxic. So I thought that was an interesting – we've seen so many will they, won't they. But I think that this is an interesting kind of switch where – John Cena is the one who's helping her and, like, being like, here's your wound. And she has a nice moment when she's like, oh, thank you. But then it's like, oh, this is a mistake. This is wrong. You know what I mean? So we've seen this in, you know, a lot of different forms over the years and different TV shows and movies when it comes to will they, won't they, or people's journeys in life. So I don't know, man. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. There's something about this that makes it different and unique. And I think that it's an interesting choice too, because she isn't as big, which makes me excited. So I don't know, man.
It's like physically big?
Yeah, because normally when you see a bigger person, you know, then you're like, oh, they're going to get into fights or whatever. You know what I mean? There's this kind of,
but to have I thought you were talking about the romance that, like, she's physically smaller than John Cena. So no, how would that possibly work?
Yeah.
No. I'll tell you about that stuff later.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But I did want to say, I like the performer as well. I just think the character is, it's just like a, you know, a light switch toggle between, like, tolerating Peacemaker and having, like, a medium fun conversation about 30 Seconds to Mars. to being just absolutely miserable, which I was like, I just want more. Like I was saying, these characters are like action figures, positively about John Cena. But with these other ones, it just feels like they only can do two things. And one of them is a very similar feeling misery that I'm like, give me some more flavors here. I want, and this is something we talked about with Creature Commandos a lot, which I felt like was going in a direction and then just leveled out as like, nope, everything's pretty miserable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. Like, that's why I want them to be having more fun or something that brightens this move of the show.
It's second season, though. They kind of had that big high, and now they're at this low, so they got to build back up to that fun.
We did just see that. So I'm saying, like, don't give me – because, I like the metaphor we're getting at of – Peacemaker is going to become addicted to this other universe where he has everything he wanted. It's like a drug metaphor, I feel like. And like, but then he's going to see that actually that world is going to be bad for him. He's going to come back and fix his life in this world. That's the arc I see. I like that idea. But if it really is just like everyone sucks, everyone's bad, and they just slowly get together over the course of these next episodes, I'm like, well, didn't we just see that arc? So like, yeah, I hope it's very different, but they're setting it up with like everyone's dragged down to base level in this episode. And that feels, except for Vigilante, but he doesn't have any, there's no, nothing there to push.
Like, I think the joke with him is he always is what he is. And I guess that's okay. But I agree with you just on the rest of the characters. Like, we need more flavors there. And I just want to be clear. I agree with you guys. I think Jennifer Holland is good as a performer and she's great in the action scene as well. I agree with you 100%, Pete. But what Justin was saying in terms of, I don't know who this character is or why Peacemaker is so in love with her specifically, other than the fact that she keeps rejecting him. I will say, I did really like the choice that they clearly hooked up on a party boat between seasons or in the 6 months. I thought that was very smart to like get past that and make that a friction point for them. I think is very interesting.
I also loved how she talked about that. She was like, yeah, you know, you get drunk, you make mistakes. And he was like, well, I kind of remember everything. And it was pretty great. Mm-hmm. And she's like,
Yeah. To get back to John Cena, though, again, like I think they give him... They do work so hard against toxic masculinity with his character in so many different ways because he does look like a big action figure, like Justin keeps saying, but he works against that. There's a softness to his performance. He is sweet with Harcourt. He cares about his friends. There's also the aspect of like his bisexuality, which apparently came from John Cena sort of riffing and improvising and then became an important thing at a plot point in the first season. Obviously is important here too. Like I appreciated, like, we can get back and talk about the Justice Gang scene in a second, but like them doing the thing about him sucking dick and then him running out and telling Adebayo, like they said, sucking dick like it's an insult when that's actually a compliment, I thought is a good way of playing that joke, getting the laugh from like the hard word of dick, but at the same time being like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's not an insult, and pushing back on that. And then the whole orgy that everybody is talking about today, obviously, because there's a crazy amount of nudity and sex going on there. I thought, again, like they played the fact that like he is into both men and women, and that's just part of who he is. But they use this scene to have the laugh of like, it's kind of funny to see a bunch of naked people having sex all over a house. But also, it's a contrast with his emotional state. He isn't at absolute low. Everybody else is like, yeah, high five, guy, let's go. And that's playing against where he's feeling and forcing him to a place where he goes and visits this other dimension in the quantum unfolding chamber. So this is all to say, I think that's very smartly done.
And I do, like, the orgy thing felt like, I thought it was like something he was imagining at first.
Yeah, and me too.
And I really liked that it was real. Yeah. And he sort of just, I was like, oh, who are all these people? And they really like to dance and fuck. And no clothes anywhere. All their clothes are gone. They left them in a room, and then they came out. And then when Economos is there, he's like, and he's not telling Flag about the orgy. I thought, I was like, what a weird thing to hide from him.
But then he tells him.
Everybody talks shit about Peacemaker, and he's like keeping his town-wide orgy. Like, where did these people come from?
I don't know.
Did they have an email list? How did they know? Did they drop everything to come?
They came from that locker where they were like orgy dimension or something.
Oh, fuck dimension. Is that a DCU?
Yeah, there was a whole event about that.
Yeah.
Crisis on Infinite Fucks, I believe it was called.
Yes. Infinite Fucks. Okay. Where's the crisis, brother?
I've been bouncing around a little bit. Justice Gang scene was bad. That was a bad scene.
Weird scene.
I thought it was interesting. Well, first off, you know, fun to see James Gunn's brother in that kind of role there. But
finally, great to see him getting some acting work. You know, that's brothers taking care of each other.
Yeah,
what a way to step up,
right? You know, right, Pete.
Yeah, Pete.
By the way, is directing the new Avatar movie. It hasn't called me or Justin yet.
Yeah, because I cast my brother.
We are your brothers.
Well, sure, in this podcast you are. I think that they're...
How dare you?
First off, I love this idea of like him getting hype. Like, you know, Ads is hyping him up before he walks in. She's like, you saved the fucking world. You know, you're going to do great. And then he gets out of the car, and then we get the kind of person crying, running the other way. And
just
like,
to mention real quick, for anybody who doesn't know, that is White Rabbit, who is a DC character, Jaina Hudson, and she has the very weird power of splitting into two people, one who is White Rabbit, a criminal in Gotham City, and the other is a regular person. And if you're curious to find out more about her, read Gotham City Sirens that came out about a year ago and was actually pretty fun. The end.
There you go. Wow. Yeah, it's really good.
She's been in a ton of stuff, but just mainly background. I think it's one of those things where they do a good job of setting this up where you're like, oh, what happened to her? And then through, you know, then you get to find out. And then Gunn's brother then is like, oh, man, I must have called her like camel toe 30 times. You're like, oh, no wonder she ran out crying. So I like this thing of like, they're going to, if you're paying attention, you're going to get rewarded. And I think that's a cool thing to kind of set up early in the show.
What do you mean paying attention?
If you're paying attention to the details, they're going to reward
you. Which details? That Hawkgirl and Green Lantern exist?
No, the fact that somebody ran out crying and you're going, what happened to her? And then they tell you.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
A couple minutes later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, though, like that whole scene played like a sketch where the mic stuff.
Yeah, the old mic bit.
But I was just like, I guess we're meant to just like absolutely punish Peacemaker, but I wanted him to yell at them. I feel like that character would yell at those fucks and then go back out of the car and be like, oh my God, I just blew this chance that I wanted. He can still feel bad on the back end, but like, I was like, yell at them. They're being insane. And they're being so cruel beyond the point of like, the heroes. So I'm like, what are we doing?
Unless there's some sort of reveal later on in the season, none of that made any sense. Why was the Justice Gang having auditions in a abandoned crank toys outlet in a strip mall somewhere?
Because it's funny.
Sure, because it's funny, but also why were they doing that? Why not at the Hall of Justice or anything like that? And then those characters, like, I'll add, I know you guys like this, or I think you like this in Superman. Like, I was not sold on these characters in Superman, and then here I'm like, I don't like these people at all. And maybe that's the goal, but I thought all of their dialogue talking about popcorn and Hawkgirl's butt and everything was kind of icky and gross.
Didn't I agree?
The fact that like Max Ward was like, I mentioned her camel toe like 30 times, like you're saying, Justin, why did they do that? Why?
Yeah.
Any of this?
Because they had to justify someone running out crying. But here's the thing. Like, I agree that, like, you're meant to not like them. You know what I mean? You're meant to be like, look at these assholes. They're so-called heroes. I know Guy is a, you know, an asshole just from comics and everything.
But he's still a hero. Movie. And he's a hero in the Superman movie. So is Hawkgirl, except she does kill that dude.
That's what killed me. I was like, don't drag Hawkgirl down in this. You know what I mean? Because I love Hawkgirl as a character, so seeing her be an asshole was kind of tough for me. I was having a hard time with it.
I mean, just one comic book caveat we can put in here is, doesn't Maxwell Lord have mind control powers?
Yes.
Like, he could be influencing them and making them bad.
Sure, that's true.
But like we talk about a lot, if they reveal that two movies down the road, cool, I guess, but it only matters, we're only talking about the episode of TV we're watching right now.
Agree.
So I don't know. It just left me with an icky feeling, and particularly like this is actually a greater universe thing, but getting started on the DCU, these are now the characters that we're following at least two properties. And I'm like, I'd be fine never seeing them again. That's okay. Like they could never come back and that would be all right.
Yeah. And there's, this is nitpicky, but like there's still Guy Gardner look. He looks so goofy to me. He looks like an actual clown. Yeah. And I'm like, he has to look a little cooler if he's going to be. Hawkgirl looks cool. Like, could be cool if given something to do. She's had nothing to do in Superman. And in this, she's just in a bad mood and bored. And I'm like, not really making me fall in love from a character.
This just all felt to me like very specifically trying to have a connection to Superman. They had Isabella Merced and Sean Gunn and Nathan Fillion for a day. They shot that. They green screened them into the previously on, and they were like, we're good to go. And I don't know. It took away from an otherwise, for me, good episode that also otherwise included DC stuff as just like paid on the back. Like I mentioned the Krang Toys thing. That's something that has not been in the comics. That was in the Arkham Asylum games and the Batman, the animated series. There was a, not yeah. Toy Man, but like Toy Master or something. I don't know, whatever it was. But Cosmo Krang is a villain there, so they put that in. Or we mentioned the bar fight with Amelia Harcourt. That takes place in Gabriel's Horn, I think is the name of the bar. And that's a bar from the Teen Titans comics from like the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Plus, there's also a item in the DC Universe called the Gabriel Horn, which lets you travel through dimensions. So that's the sort of thing that like, that's cool if you spend time plumbing through fan wikis like I did because I was curious about the stuff, but it does not matter at all when you're watching on screen. And that's so much better than being like, here we go, breadcrumbs for the DCU, because yeah. Let me just watch the thing I'm watching.
Yeah. Agreed about that.
I did think the at the start of the episode when we had Peacemaker kind of doing the career day, I thought that was fun. And then like his opening line, and that's how I defeated Kite Man. I would have loved if one of the kids yelled out like, hell yeah, or something. You know?
Maybe they did. Good. That was in the first season, that scene, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay, just saying it would have been a nice, but nice. It was a funny kind of like picking up, you know, at that moment, I thought was really funny. And then I loved his, Canadian tuxedo. And then the girl asked a question. I thought that was funny.
What do we feel about the alternate dimension, getting to see the father alive, getting to see Keith alive? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but what were your thoughts on that? And I asked specifically because there was a little bit of back and forth on the Comic Book Club Discord about whether that went on too long, whether it was emotionally palpable. How'd you feel?
Well, I don't know. Not a lot happens. It's a lot of sitting in Peacemaker's emotional reaction there. And I liked seeing that. This is another thing that James Gunn points out in the post-credit interview sequence. Robert Patrick like yanked on John Cena's ear, not scripted, something he did.
Yeah, that was adorable.
That was really cool. And that was like a real thing. That felt like a real moment between people who exist. So that was cool. It was very much like I was waiting for something to happen. The fact that he sort of seamlessly goes in and out a couple times, I was like, okay. And then
are you saying, not to interrupt, but this definitely raised question marks for me as well. Like, do they know about the quantum unfolding chamber?
It seems like they do the jokes they were making about the imps and, you know, when you try to get up in the morning, you have cereal and all the imps jerked off in your Cheerios. I mean, that's a tough way to start the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the best way.
I mean, it's called Frosted. they must know about it, but I guess like in between seasons, there's people there now and there wasn't before really. Right. So it's like, maybe they don't know about that.
Yeah.
I want to put out an idea that I think that what happened.
Is it about the storage unit with the dogs or is it something?
No.
Because
no.
That's my idea. Remember, yeah, that's my idea.
You claim that. Yeah. I'm not going to touch that. That's yours. No problems.
Patented.
So I think when he opens the door and lets Eagly fly, that's a different Eagly trying to get back into that Eagly's dimension. And that his Eagly is still
that's
flying
complicated.
Around. Yeah. Well, because I'm trying to figure out why Eagly would want that door. And I would think
Eagly is highly intelligent, right? So Eagly knows there is a second Peacemaker.
It's like an R2-D2 situation.
Yeah, exactly. So he knows what's going on there. I don't think it's a second Eagly. I think it is Eagly sending.
I don't know, because when he goes back, the first thing we see is an eagle fly. And I was like, that's the same Eagly right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times birds go and do what they want. Yeah. So you can't tell the birds. Which bird is which bird.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Pete, have you been in a lot of R2-D2 situations? I just wanted to mean by that?
Well, I
what
just mean exactly there's a little
the
person.
Last girl you dated, you'd call that more of an R2-D2 situation. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, very sassy and prone to just shock you every now and again.
Yeah,
for almost
that's the worst. That's the worst, yeah. There's a lot of people talking about over the years that like R2-D2 knew the plans the whole time and was a mastermind and all that kind of stuff. So I just figured this isn't like an R2-D2. It's because it's like, how much does Eagly know? How much is Eagly like rooting for John Cena or just wanting to wake him up to be like, yo, let me fly, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Text the shit out of that guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I generally like this, and I like this relationship. It did sit in it like a couple of beats too long for me, I think, with the brother and the father.
What?
Just unless this information pads out later, like where they're talking about the imps jacking off the cereal or anything like that, which
they're going to revisit
that.
We're going to see those imps. I mean, if you got an alien.
Well,
and
I will mention this is the second time in two DCU properties where they mentioned imps, because there was the scene in Superman where they're fighting the dimensional imp in the background while Lois and Superman are talking. So there certainly could be something there. My point being that, like, I don't know. We saw his reaction. Then we go into his room and we see like the alternate universe heavy metal posters or rock posters.
That was hysterical.
It's cool, but
pour
it was
some
just like
honey
this is
on me instead of sugar. I mean, come on, fun. That's
great
hysterical.
Stuff. Hanoi fun. Rock spelled the wrong way. Def Leppard spelled the right way. Great
ooh,
stuff.
But, wow.
Whoa!
Oh,
so,
Alex's hobby horse
whoa,
over here.
You got a problem with Def Leppard, bro?
No,
guy,
I
don't. Guy lost his arm, bro.
Other than my long-standing beef with him, nothing. My point being that, like, we had
Alex's boy band got into a bunch of fights with Def Leppard on tour. And you may be wondering, what is Alex's boy band? And you're just going to have to wait and find out when Alex is ready to reveal the name.
You can Google Front Street Boys. We were never that popular.
Front Street Boys.
Yeah, we were briefly also called Out of Sync. I don't know.
That makes
terrible
sense.
Singing. Anyway, my point being that, like, we have this
your
very long scene
work is
where
impeccable.
He hangs out with his father and brother that we have. He's in his room for a while. So that I
not
didn't
for a while. It.
It
was a couple seconds.
It was at least 3 to 4 hours. That's what it felt like.
Oh,
so,
my God, dude.
No, but it was like it was an extended sequence. And I feel like they could have like sped that up a little bit to maybe spend a little more time with like Adebayo, for example, who clearly has some stuff going on, was almost the second
she's
lead
great.
Of the first season. And instead, she's like, just trucking along this episode.
Dude, we're going to get so much more of her.
Sure.
She's got so much going on. Her business card was hilarious. That whole scene was great.
It is crazy to me that they put her phone number with card, like, very glaringly on screen. You call that number, and you get out of service. Like, why would you be like, whoa, look at this card?
Because you got to pay
look
someone
at you.
To them.
The lament of a newsman, modern newsman.
Take it easy, dude.
You're like, the license plate's fucked. The number is just regular. What's happening here?
Well,
I tried to get an eagle as a pet. Didn't work.
Did you want John Cena to pick up? Like, all right. There's a lot that you just kind of steamrolled. But hold on a second. All right, let me back up the truck. First of all, the fact that, like, he accidentally murdered his brother and then got to see him. And then, like, they've had this amazing life together that he's not been a part of. That scene where he broke down and cried was phenomenal, and I'm
great
glad we got
from John Cena. I just have one
second.
Question for you. You kill your brother when you're both kids, right? Like,
right.
You punch him, he has a seizure, he dies.
It
like,
almost
he's
happened.
A kid. He's like 10 or 11 or however old they were. So think of your brother then. You see him however many years later. He's got a beard. He's bald. He's coming out of a Ford truck. How do you?
He's in the office.
He's
TV
from the office, the TV show. How do you instantly know that's your brother?
Who else could it be coming to that house? You know what I mean? It's an educated
an
guy.
Uber guy.
Still
everybody.
Looks
he's
like
in another dimension. It could be anybody.
Dude, he took a stab and he was right, dude.
Yeah. Lucky guess. That's what you're going with. Okay.
No, you can. I feel like if I murdered my brother when he was 10 and then went to another dimension, and I would feel like I would know my brother. Okay.
I mean, I'll tell you, if you woke up to a lot of strange people, strange men in your life and say, "What's up, brother? I missed you.
Bro?
Like, you get yourself in a lot of fun situations. And I'm proving that up here in this small Maine town that I'm spending the week in.
Nice. Plug in Maine. I love it. Yeah. I think that every second we got in there was very powerful and very cool. And I do agree with you. I want more of ads. I think she's great, but we can only do so much in the first episode. And I hope we get a lot more of her because she is hysterical and great in this show. But I also love this idea of setting up this thing of like, she is really in a tough spot. And,
I do want to ask Justin about another character that we meet this episode. So we mentioned we see Frank Grillo as Rick Flag Sr. There's a whole motivation for him from the Suicide Squad where Peacemaker killed his son. So we're definitely getting into that, as well as just generally like the dimensional riff thing that is also riffing off of Superman. But working at Argus, coming in to see him, is a character named Sasha Bordeaux, who I believe is one of your favorite characters, Justin.
Yes, Sasha Bordeaux, who started as in the comics. Famously
you're thinking of
a wine
Sasha
bottle.
Pino.
She started as Bruce Wayne's bodyguard, then later became his sort of sidekick, fell in love with him, had a great, one of the best Bruce Wayne romances in all of Batman comics, I believe. This was probably, 12 years ago this was running in the comics and Detective
maybe longer.
Comics.
I think that was
maybe longer.
That was like 2000s, right?
Yeah, early 2000s, mid 2000s. She later went on to run Checkmate and I believe had some sort of techno-organic situation.
That was the whole did that come out of this is getting way too deep. Did that come out of Infinite Crisis, I think, where she got infected by an OMAC virus and became
Yes,
cyborg?
It was OMAC related and then but unfortunately when she started running Checkmate, they sort of changed the character, and then the OMAC thing was a whole nother change, and she became sort of like an Amanda Waller light type character who was just out there running a government organization. I mean, yeah, exciting to see her. We don't get a lot from her in this episode from any
standpoint. It seems
like
we're going to be getting more of her.
Well, but I do think the real play here feels like taking the Checkmate aspect and having her spinning out of Argus and running another organization. That would be because Checkmate is a borderless international organization that keeps the peace divorced from any particular nation.
Well, on that note, do we have any other like very specific things from the episode anybody wants to talk about? Because I think it would be good to kind of end here talking about what we think we're going to see next, what this means for the greater DCU or what we want it to mean for the greater DCU. Pete, I'm sure you have a couple of lines you want to call out.
Well, we already talked about the worst level Grand Theft Auto, and I did love every scene we got with ads and Echo, as I like to call them. That whole airdrop situation was fun. That's not my dick. I do want more of ads and Echo. I think the back and forth that they have is just really great, so I'm hoping for more of that. But yeah, man, I just can't believe that you guys weren't as moved as I was by the whole brother-father thing.
Dance orgy. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That guy who was dancing like this?
Yeah. I'm so glad you have your clothes on.
Because that's the thing. Some people come.
This is what my chest looks like.
Yeah. He's got a shirt tattooed on his nude body. He has an Alvin the Chipmunks length shirt tattooed on his full body. He's nude most of the time.
Yeah.
Smart.
I went to Simon for Halloween once and never took it off.
Yeah, I think I'm always going to love this look, said a young Alex Albin, fresh from Front Street Boys
before
rehearsal.
Before we actually do move on to looking at the future, we touched on this briefly, but we got to talk about the opening dance sequence. I'm going to throw it out there. I thought it was good, but it's not as good as the first season.
Agree.
Sure.
There's too many characters to feature.
Too many characters. And it's missing some of the great beats for the first one of, like, Judo Master popping out of the floor and then immediately landing at the end in front of everybody.
Now, what did you think about that pylon? Because that almost seemed like a nod to like some of the famous covers we saw where everybody's like dead on the cover of the comic book.
It felt very comic book cover and felt like a warning that everyone's going to
I also
not have
wonder
a good
if
season.
It's like they're going to do a different opening for every episode.
Probably not.
No.
That's what we thought, I think, last season, too. And then they did not. But I agree. I thought there'd be more surprises in it.
There could
it
be.
Cool.
As the
cool song.
Maybe we'll notice more as the season unfolds.
People will die slowly over the course of it. A couple of things I want to point out.
Some cameos.
Shouts to the proprietary tighty whities that Priestmaker wears. Very good. Really good choices there. I'm going to say
love the
a
quality
word.
Of the underwear that Peacemaker.
They feel high quality. And
you
some
say
sort
feel,
of
but we're seeing this on a TV screen. You can't actually feel that.
You
underwear.
Don't have one of those Feelovision TVs, Pete.
Yeah,
no,
no,
I
did. I dropped it on set and felt the underwear before I was quickly escorted out of the room by Mr. Cena's very rough security team. Let me say, very professional but very rough. I'm going to say a word, and I want you guys to say, yep, that's what I thought the whole time. Ready? Mm-hmm. Or, nope, that was a complete surprise. They're saying that wrong. Bloodhaven.
They were saying Bloodhaven.
They said Bloodhaven over and over again.
Really?
Bloodhaven.
Did they?
Almost Bloodhaven. Like they were rubbing it. He said, I thought, isn't he in Bloodhaven? I heard he was, are you back from Bloodhaven?
So here's the thing. There's an umlaut over the
I know. I know. I know it's what it is. But that's still. On
that. Yeah, I've always said Bloodhaven.
Everyone has.
What
yeah,
else?
Of course.
It's the same as when in Creature Commandos, they were like, her name is Cersei. And it was like, no, it's not. It's Cersei.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, it is
old
crazy.
Houston Houston situation.
I guess it's sort of. It's just crazy that
if you're
from
Bloodhaven, that's what you call it, but everybody else calls it Bloodhaven. But if you live there, you know.
We have
it's
been.
Not Houston Street.
Real quick, we where's have the been, best cheesesteaks in Bloodhaven, Pete?
It's
he
corner
knows,
of the 7th of Maine. Everybody knows that.
Of course.
The thing we always have to remember about this stuff is this is something one person a long time ago quickly in a minute added two dots because it looked cool to a town name. And now it's real and we're talking about it like it's very important. So I'm just saying we're sick. I know that. But Bloodhaven is weird. Bloodhaven is a weird way to say that.
I think it's because legally they can't say Bloodhaven because there's an actual Bloodhaven. So they have to be like. Bloodhaven.
Where's the actual Bloodhaven? Oh, are you talking
is that
about
the
like
town you live in?
A haven.
Is that the
blood?
Town that you won't tell us?
That's where they keep all the blood, right? The Bloodhaven.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. A popular vampire. Yeah, yeah. Good. Good. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good. Really good stuff. Shouts to Michael Ian Black, who is becoming across
Cleavis,
the DC
it
universe.
Is this is one that I'm like, why is this not an Easter egg? His name is Cleavis Thornwaite. Which is a made-up character because apparently he slipped into James Gunn's DMs. It was like, put me in your universe. Except there's already like two Shock Jocks type characters. There's Jack Ryder, who's the Creeper, who anchors conservative news programs. And there's also Glorious Godfrey, who is part of the Darkseid's team of Apocalyptian New Gods, who also does like... Firebrand TV shows. I don't know why he is neither one of those things. That's crazy.
It's just crazy because Michael Ian Black literally looks like the Creeper.
Yes, 100%.
Like from the comics. Like, looks just like him and could easily just be. Very weird that they didn't just commit to that in a place. I mean, he's sort of like a license plate where they're just using it over and over again. It definitely made me think that this doesn't square much with Superman. Mm-hmm. Just this TV show, seeing Michael Ian Black and seeing the Justice Gang, I was like, this feels so different, and it's weird to see them here.
This gets to a bigger thing, and I know I'm in the minority here, but as laudable as it is that James Gunn has said, we don't want to have a house style for our TV shows and movies, I think, like, creatively, thinking about it just for the creative angle, that's great, that he's like... We want to follow what the artists want to do and make what's best for the project. So Clayface can be a body horror movie and Supergirl could be whatever it is going to be. Lanterns is going to be True Detective, HBO, but with Green Lanterns. Cool. Like, go in whatever directions, make things. But then there is the problem of, like, I think about my kids loved Superbad. I don't know what else from the DCU, what the next thing I'm going to be able to show them. They cannot watch Peacemaker. They probably won't be able to watch Lanterns if it is actually True Detective HBO style show. They may not be able to watch Supergirl where she's getting wasted on other planets. I just don't know at this point. So there's a certain level of like, they rushed Superbad to get it up on digital so people could watch it before getting into Peacemaker. But the same population of people who watch Superman cannot watch Peacemaker. And right. I don't think that's good in terms of the overall health of the franchise.
But it is good for the people who can enjoy both. You know, sorry,
true.
Kids.
Yeah, it's great for us.
Yeah.
We're adults.
The only thing we're grown-ups by age. The only thing I would
say is they should go back and watch the Christopher Reeve Superman. Like, what the fuck?
Wow, okay. Weird take, Dad. Other Dad.
I know there are other things for them to watch. I'm talking about like both things at once. That of course I want to support people artistically and creatively, but at the same time, when you're like, here we go, here's our new franchise, you can't watch most of it. That's weird. That's a weird way of doing it.
Well, and even beyond that, that logistic, like, they're just very, very different tonally and everything. Like, I'm sure there are people who are of age who would watch Superman and be like, I love this, and watch this and be like, what the fuck? Why is this this way? Like, especially, like, say you're like, oh, man, I loved the Clark-Lois relationship, something I loved. The complexity, the way they, like, related to each other and spoke to each other and, like, the love and tone of their relationship. You're not going to find that in the romance here, at least not yet.
Not yet, my friend.
The characters are not don't have anywhere near the level of nuance and
yet
different. Okay, wow, great. Shouts to Pete. I love the magic stars and jetpack stuff at the end.
I also really like the music choice at the end when the credits were rolling. Yeah, that was fun.
And Pete, I think you're right. Like, give these folks a chance. They've only had 8 episodes, which is 8 hours versus the 2 hours Superman had, which is 4 times as much time.
I like where your head's at. Yeah, exactly.
So they got to take even more time to really figure them out. Maybe honestly, like, we won't even know or care about these characters for another 5 to 7 seasons. Honestly,
we don't know. You got to play the long game.
You got to play the long game. Don't care about the thing right now.
Yep.
Care about the other thing. Like, if there's another dimension out there.
We're definitely playing the long game.
another dimension out there that's better, like, concentrate on that, not where you currently are. Is that the lesson we're going to learn at the end of the season, I think?
Let's hope so, man, because if we all need to find our perfect locker dimension. You know what I mean?
100%. That
we
can just go wherever you are is bad, head to another place.
Just start over fresh someplace new, you know?
Could you imagine if that's the end lesson of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. Period.
You were right.
Real quick, to end on like a speculation note, why don't we talk about what we want to see over the course of the rest of the season? Pete, what are you looking forward to? Romance, I assume.
Yes, I'm excited because, you know, right now it feels like Peacemaker is by himself. And, you know, Vigilante was asking about him, so that was nice. So I feel like we want to get this group feeling more like a family dynamic and more together. So I feel like I'm excited for more steps towards that. But, yeah, I also want to see kind of, you know, just more of the characters and I think it's going to be this other dimension to see what's bad about it or what he might not like. It would be kind of crazy if it was just this, there are differences, but there's nothing wrong with it. It could be kind of interesting. But something you guys, I am surprised is, you know, people still live in New York City, you know, that rats problem is real. And I think like having a flaming garbage thing for disposing of rats would be a great idea. And I'm hoping that people in New York see this episode and say, aha.
Yeah, now we haven't really quite gotten around to inventing fire here in New York yet, but we're working on it. Mayor Adams.
I think it'd be smart. It's a great way to get rid of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So hopefully. Definitely we want more flaming garbage cans.
because wouldn't cause any problems ever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm.
At the end of this season, isn't Peacemaker going to have to kill his brother?
Oh, don't do that.
Well, this is the speculation I was going to get towards, like, rather than
don't make him kill his brother,
for anything
bro.
In particular. I think there's, a very good chance this other dimension is a racist dimension, because the thing that we're ignoring here is his dad, Augie, in the DCU is a horrible racist who ran a Aryan hate group. I don't think he's going to be the actual Flip. I think, like, he is racist. I think Keith is racist. This Peacemaker is racist. Maybe the entire dimension is racist. And I think we're going to get towards that. And, yeah, like you're saying, we're going to have to get
But that Peacemaker would mean Peacemaker kills. Would be racist in that world, though.
Yeah. And that's why he's a hero. And then he's going to be like, oh, no, I got everything I wanted, but there's this one horrible thing. And ultimately, he is going to have to choose peace at any cost, and we're going to get Peacemaker kills the DC2 or something like that before heading back home. We'll see. I really liked
when you were pitching that, we heard kids screaming in the background, because I think that perfectly sums up what you're saying.
I always have that sour cue, just like ready to go. Pete, I do like what you were saying.
The idea
that there is nothing wrong with the place, but ultimately he has to choose his home anyway. Yeah, I do think it's emotionally more complicated, but I don't trust that's going to happen.
No, he's going to have to kill the one place.
Yeah.
I think they are probably going to, because I agree with you, I thought it was going to be like he's addicted to the good dimension. He's gonna have to shake it and deal with what's real, deal with the consequences of killing Peacemaker, all that. But I think more likely it's like that world is perfect, but he has to kill it because of his very strong moral code, that is his defining characteristic.
Now I'm wondering, do you guys think that because Peacemaker's dead in that other racist world, maybe racist world, he's going to go over there and have to spend more time to kind of be, hopefully, so they don't come looking for the body. Oh, like a
Mrs. Doubtfire situation.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely he's going to be dressing like a Scottish woman.
Oh, no. I meant like having to do two dinners at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That old chestnut.
Yeah.
In the same restaurant, so you have to run back and forth, and you're wearing different costumes. You know what I'm talking about. From Mrs. Doubtfire.
Have you guys watched that? Have you guys watched that in the last few years?
Absolutely not.
I watched that movie with my kids. That scene with him doing two different dinners in the same restaurant is fucking crazy. It's so wild. It's very stressful. They somehow pull off something that is so nonsense. It was a drive-by fruiting. Is what it was.
It's a great line.
I hope they have that on Peacemaker season 2. And folks, if you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Peacemaker, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice. To subscribe, listen, follow the show, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad. Let people be nice to each other.
What are you doing with that dog carcass, bro? Why do you have a dog carcass?
I'm just storing it.
Anyone in Maine who has a dog, be afraid. Be very afraid, because Justin has a carcass. Could be your dog.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.